Hello, everyone, and welcome to Cellular Healing TV. I'm your host, Meredith Dykstra, and this is episode number 166. We have our resident cellular healing specialist, Dr. Dan Pompa, on the line, of course. And today we welcome special guest, Kevin Rail. And I know you and Dr. Pompa have been friends for a while, so this is really exciting to have you on the show today. You're a fitness expert and have a lot to share in that realm, so it's going to be a really fun conversation. Before we get started, let me share with the listeners a little bit about more about you, Kevin. So Kevin is an internationally known and sought-after fitness coach featured in the documentary film The Motivation Factor by Doug Orchard Films. He's also the founder of My Six Pack Challenge and specializes in functional training, core training, three-dimensional movement, motivation, and restorative arts. He has a BS in sports management and fitness and wellness, and is a strong first level one kettlebell instructor, and is certified through ACSM, NASM, FMS, and ACE. Ooh, that's a lot of acronyms. All right. Awesome. Well, Kevin, welcome to Cellular Healing TV. We're so excited to have you on the show.
Thank you, Meredith. It is my pleasure. And anytime I have a chance to talk smack with Dr. Pompa, or people who think or talk like him, I jump at the opportunity. Because we talk smack a lot, believe you me.
There's a little echo on Kevin's end. Yeah, a little echo on Kevin's end. Kevin, I don't know if you have earphones, but that would help.
If I had earphones?
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Got earphones. Or turn your volume down. Turn your volume down.
All right, let me see. That might be the missing link right there.
Yeah, it's already better, actually. Well, anyways, you know, hey, Meredith, I want you to look up the show that Kevin did. What did we title that show, Kevin? Do you remember?
Yes. I don't remember the exact title, but I do know what we spoke about. It was all about disordered eating. It might have been orthorexia. Was it orthorexia?
Yeah, I think it was titled orthorexia in the title.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, Kevin told his story, and that episode touched a lot of people, and if you haven't seen it, go back and watch it, because it really affects more people than you think. And if you wonder where Kevin, and one of the first questions, Kevin, I always ask people is, man, how'd you get into this and why? So I kind of want you to start just by retelling some of your story, you know, because like me, my passion runs deep, you know, because of the suffer from pain to purpose, you know. And I'll tell you what, you have a really amazing story that makes you unique, and it makes you the great trainer and educator that you are. So start there, Kevin.
Well, I appreciate that, first of all. And I believe that I don't think that everyone is designed to struggle to become stronger and to become further down the road in life, but I am definitely one of those people who have struggled quite a bit to get to where I am. But I think you do become stronger from all your struggles, and that often defines you as a person. And just like the great Rocky Balboa said, it's not how hard you can hit, it's how hard you can get hit and keep getting up and keep moving forward. And that's how winning is done. And although he's a fictional character, that statement just reverberates through my brain every single day, every single hour, all the way to sort of to this present moment when I still struggle with things. And I just know that just put that little effort forth, and you're always going to come back out on top. So ever since I was like 5 years old, I was touched by fitness and exercise. That was one of my things. I grew up in a family where my dad was always worried that me and my brother were going to get fat and out of shape. And he was old school, so he would use terms like that. And he would say, I don't want you guys to have pot bellies, I remember him saying. So I would always try to do whatever I can to please him and stay in shape. And I also recognized something else. And we talked about this earlier off camera when we were talking about the seven dust and all these other things. And I know I'm going to be jumping around like a Quentin Tarantino movie here, so just bear with me. So food has always been something very important in my life as well, for fuel and for recovery and all these other things. And back when I was a young strapping lad, I really didn't care too much about my diet because, you know, you feel you're indestructible when you're 15, 16 years old. I mean, I see your son Daniel at the gym, and he's just like ripping weights out left and right and all this stuff. And I remember when I was his age, and I kind of had the same mindset, except I would come home from school and I'd have a can of soda and a package of crimpets or cupcakes, and I'd run right downstairs and I'd start hammering the weights, and I felt like I was going to vomit 5 minutes into my workouts, and I couldn't understand why. I'm like, I need to get big and strong because I'm going to be a professional wrestler, WWE, I'm going to be the champion. So I do whatever I can to get bulk and get bigger, but it just didn't really connect the dots with me. I always felt like I was going to vomit and throw up. My heart was pounding through my chest. I was breathing really heavy, but I didn't really care. I was indestructible. Lucky for Daniel, you know, he's got you guys as role models and tutelage, And he knows about that. He's got it down. You know, he's 19. Well, I mean, what is he now? 19, 20, somewhere in that ballpark.
19.
So he's already got it. But I was just like, fend it off to figure it out on my own. So as I got, when I turned 19, my father got colon cancer. And then I saw the impact that had on not just him, but our family and our close network of people in the neighborhood and our friends and everything. And people come into the house all the time to see him and say hello and pay their last respects, so to speak. And that really was a huge turning point in my life. So I think everyone who's like really serious about fitness and nutrition, there are people who are haps and there are people who are genuine. And those who are genuine usually had an incident like this happen where they really did come from nothing. And they went through the learning curves and they went through the hard work and they went through the struggles. They saw people die right in front of their eyes and saw them take their last breath. And they didn't want to become just like that. And that's kind of one of the things that happened with me. But even further, deeper down in the layers, when I was 5 and 6 years old, I was always wanting to be in great shape because of what I was telling you before about my dad's attitude. And he was always, he had a high expectation for us. So I wanted to appease him. But one of the things that I noticed was when he's out there in the gardens, dusting the plants with seven dust, wearing this yellow uniform from head to toe made out of rubber and a face mask and everything, telling me and my brother we couldn't be outside when he was doing it. Something clicked inside my head and I was like, oh my God, you're gonna put that stuff on those plants, they're gonna grow into vegetables and you're gonna harvest them. You're gonna want me to eat those things? It's the dinner table? It's not happening, not my dime. So I would just like rebel and I wouldn't eat my vegetables and all that stuff and I wouldn't eat the fruits and everything from the trees we had in the yard. And that's where that actually started the nutrition thing in my brain. Although yes, I used to drink soda and eat all the crap. I still in the back, there was this voice chatting to me saying, don't eat that stuff. So when he finally got cancer, I was actually 15 when he got diagnosed. I was 19 when he died. It then started clicking in my head that perhaps all that stuff he was using out in the yard and in the gardens was not so good for the body. And I looked back on it and I'm like, wow, thank God I didn't eat the carrots and the rutabagas and all the tomatoes and everything else that had been sprayed and dusted, because perhaps that is what caused his illness and his sickness. So the connection points started coming together. And then as I got in my early 20s, I started fusing the connection between eating more healthy and my workouts. And I started figuring out that whole dynamic. Then I started getting into fasting before my workouts. And then we've had many conversations about that. And that's probably a whole nother show in itself.
Yeah, the benefits
of that. But like fasting and working out on an empty stomach is like, that's like my A number one thing in these days. So I went through this long learning curve and all this experimentation. And what I really boils down to is you always want to feed your body as high octane fuel as you possibly can and try to do that in conjunction with your workouts. And whatever system works best for you is the one that works best for you. And that's plain and simple. Fasting works really good for me and it may not work good for someone else. They may need to eat a banana before the workout or some organic yogurt and peanut butter. I don't know. I don't really care. If you can eat something and tolerate it, that's fine. That's your prerogative and it works for you. What works for me is working on an empty stomach. So all this information that I've accumulated over the years, I try to push forward, and I don't want people to go on the same path as my father, including myself. So I try to do every single thing I possibly can to avoid cancer, inflammation, disease, brain function problems, dementia, and all these other things that everyone just complains about all the time. Anything that I can to try to make myself a 100% healthy human being from head to toe, inside and out, mentally and physically, I will do it. And that's where I kind of based all my workouts from going forward. And that's what I do when I train people as well. And with my program that Meredith mentioned, my six-pack challenge, it's chocked full of all these different movement patterns, complex movement patterns. When you do
I want you to talk about what that is, what that looks like, where our viewers can get the six-pack challenge, and also talking about these primal movements, because if people watched you in the gym, you're always doing different things. And it's very, very different from what most trainers or people are doing. So I want you to talk about that. But before we leave the chemical conversation, let's bring that to a close, because there was you and I were talking off air and you had a conversation with somebody who is basically defending, if you will, glyphosate, Monsanto, Roundup, the chemical, talk about that, because I want you to share that conversation with our viewers.
Well, I posted a video on Facebook this morning. I'm not going to mention names about who I got in a scrap with and all that stuff. I wouldn't even call it a scrap. It was just like a conversation. Yeah. Let's put it that way. And you know, when you're in a position like myself or you, we get haters all the time and we always get conflict and we get people that are acting like they know more than we do. They got more initials past their name, more degrees. They went to this university or that one and they know this person and this expert and that expert. And it's like my guru can beat up your guru is what it comes down to in the end. But that's just a big smoking pile of fluff in my opinion. You can't fool Mother Nature and you can't be common sense in the end. That's what it all boils down to all the time. So I took a stand. I did a video and I was talking about baby spinach and the benefits of it. I've said always go organic because you don't want to have GMOs and chemicals and pesticides floating through your bloodstream and causing all kinds of problems because I don't want to have to deal with you when you get sick.
And spinach, by the way, is one of the most sprayed vegetables, if not the most.
Bingo.
Spinach, don't ever, ever, ever not eat it 100% organic. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, totally. That's like one of the top five. And that's why I threw that out there. And I was showing this clamshell container of baby spinach, organic. They got a Costco for $4 yesterday. You can't beat that deal. And I was going on about, it's like 100 calories for the whole thing. And then I said, be careful of the pesticides, chemicals. You always want to go organic, whatever. So this guy decided to challenge me on that. And he's like, there's no proof that organic is better. He said, everything has chemicals, blah, 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 blah. GMOs are not better. Or GMOs are not bad for the body. It's been proven, yada, yada. You should read up on this guy and read this studies and yada, yada. And I'm like, whatever. I'm like, everybody's got a study. Everybody's got a journal to read and all these other things. And that's just how the life works. Everybody has a specialist they think knows it all. But what I found out over the years is there is no one size fits all. There is no perfect solution to anything. But there is common sense and there is Mother Nature. And anytime you alter anything out of its natural state, there's something going on there. There's a process. That's what refined means. And that's why I stay away from that kind of stuff. Refined things, GMO products, all these other things. So splicing seeds with species that you don't even know where they're coming from or what they are, that's against Mother Nature, like 100%. So I try to keep away from that stuff. Something tells me that's bad. And we've talked before about there are studies. So we went back and forth a little bit, and he wasn't backing down about there's nothing wrong with GMOs and organic is no better. And yes, I know there's a scant amount of chemicals used in the organic production of crops because the bugs will eat them to death or whatever. But there's also different methods they use that they don't use with conventional things that are way better and way healthier for the body. So it's just like those who believe don't really need an explanation. And those who do believe, actually, those who don't believe, there is no explanation. And those who do believe don't need an explanation for anything. They just believe and they go along their way and they do their thing. And I think the brain has a magical power of attracting that which it needs. And whatever you think is to be the truth is probably going to be a reality. So if I want to, I'm going to go on believing that organic is good because I feel it is. And I'm going to do my research on the companies that I buy this stuff from, which I also do. I'm going to make sure they're clean and legit. And I'm also going to avoid GMOs every chance I get because I truly believe that that's the devil and that's poison and it's garbage.
I mean, no one can argue. Okay? I mean, organic is cleaner. Can there be overspray? Can there be, of course, right? But I mean, you know, all in all, organic is far cleaner. I didn't even know people were still making that argument because that's such an old time argument. But you found one. You know, GMOs, I read you this study. I did a Facebook Live a few weeks ago and it says, this came out a few weeks ago. Monsanto colluded with EPA, was unable to prove Roundup does not cause cancer. Sealed court documents revealed, and it says in this said newly unsealed court documents released earlier today seemingly revealed a startling effort on the part of Monsanto and the EPA to work in concert to kill and discredit independent, inconvenient cancer research, obviously conducted by the World Health Organization. And they did. I was, you know, when that was happening, I was doing things, you know, talking about that. I even did a Facebook Live on my wife's, on Marilee's thing, gosh, probably 8 months ago, about how they were, you know, working together to cover up the research that in fact showed clearly that this chemical is causing cancer, leaky gut, and other problems. You know, and, you know, this came out, but yet, you know, did you hear it on mainstream media? Of course not.
Nope.
But absolutely, you can get these court documents. You can look at this cover up yourself. You can look at the research showing by independent studies that glyphosate's linked not just to cancer, but multiple diseases. Look at Stephanie Seneff's work, senior scientist at MIT, very hard to refute. She has no axe to grind other than figuring out, you know, what's going on and why children are getting sick with autoimmune and other conditions. So, you know, there you go, man. I mean, that to me ends that argument, but yeah, you know what? I think you're right. I think this guy he wants to believe what he wants to believe. And I don't think you could ever change him, Kevin. And, you know,
I never tried to change anybody. They have their choice. They want.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, see, Kevin, a lot of it comes from our major premise. our philosophy, right? You know, you could show me things, the saying, look, this chemical, it's, you know, absolutely safe. And my mind's going, it's a chemical. If I ingest this every day, this is a problem. I don't care if you don't have a study yet showing that it causes problems, right? Because see, my major premise comes from, it's a chemical. And if I'm ingesting it daily, you know, could I ingest it periodically and my body deal with it? Of course. But if I'm doing something daily that's a poison and a chemical, you know, and if it's man-made chemical, it's gonna, your body has to deal with it some way. So anyways, our major premise is wrong, and I doubt you're going to change them. But, you know, anyways.
That's true.
Yeah.
If it just really makes sense if you think about it. Roundup, I mean, it's used to kill weeds around a plant. It starts out as a seed in ground. It's sprayed with Roundup, and then it grows, and the corn just comes up nice, and this beautiful stalk appears, and like all these ears come out of it. And all the weeds are dead. So if there's a chemical pounding on that crop that starts as a seed that goes through its whole adult life and kills all the weeds, do you really want to be consuming that? And do you really think, are you fool enough to believe that you can wash it off and get fruit wash or whatever? That's the biggest hoax I've ever heard in my life. It's ridiculous. I don't buy that stuff.
It absorbs. I remember years ago reading a study from, it was Penn State University, and they showed how the corn stalks pull in the glyphosate.
Yeah.
And I saw pictures. I read the study. Gosh, I can't remember. That was so darn long ago. You know, that's all I needed to know. You're not washing off glyphosate, you know, yep. And the fact is if you have any idea how it works, how it, you know, basically binds the minerals that these plants need, you know, to survive and thrive, you know, and look, it doesn't take much really investigation to go, wow, this can't be good. But anyways, Kevin, let's talk about some of your unique training strategies, which are very unique. And, you know, our viewers always want to say, okay, great, but how can it help me now? So you can lead them to your website. What about the six pack challenge? What about these primal movements? Why are they different? Why do they work? And why should we do them?
Okay. Well, you call it primal movements. I just call them complex movement patterns.
But you can call it primal because that's what it looks like. I've heard you say that actually.
Yeah. I used to use that word every now and then, but if you do think back to primitive times, we weren't linear creatures. We don't stand up straight and just do things most of the time. I mean, it's easy to stand up and drink a glass of water or something like that. But if you think of life's situations, take situational awareness, for example, nothing that's in a linear pattern is that complicated. But that's fine and dandy. But we can stand still and do bicep curls all day long and do overhead presses with dumbbells. Anybody can get strong in those positions where the body is strong. But what happens when you're in the compromised position? What happens when you're playing a sport and you get hit and you're on one foot and you got to rebalance yourself, recorrect your position, and then keep on running? What happens if you're out in the grass years and years ago in primal times and you're crawling through the grass or snaking through it because you're trying to lead a meat to you, an animal or something like that, to live for the next month, to survive on it? You're in a compromised position. You're slipping on rocks. You're climbing trees. You're jumping over things. You're rolling. You're rocking. Nothing is linear. And in life, we've gotten lazy and we've gotten linear. And linear is dangerous, in my opinion. It causes rounded shoulders. It causes weak shoulders. It causes weak backs. It causes back pain. It causes fat stomachs. It causes weak knees and joints.
So you're saying, hey, this is linear. This is linear.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, I'm just giving it for our viewers, just to understand.
Yes. So a linear pattern is like, just think of the word line. You're moving in one line. So a bicep curl is like this. It's a line. It's a linear pattern. When you get on the ground on your hands and knees, and you're moving in a crawling position, your opposite hand and foot is moving. This is what we'll use Marilee for an example. I taught her how to crawl a while ago, and she struggled mightily at first.
Oh my God, look, you just walked in. Hold on, come on here. This girl, I'm not kidding, but she was not able to crawl. Yeah, neurologically, she didn't crawl as a kid. She kind of went right to walking, right?
Kevin taught me how to crawl.
Yeah, there, so her children, Daniel and Isaac saw her, doing her with this crawl thing, and they were cracking up, making fun of her. Meanwhile, it's like it helped her probably more than anything, because her coordination working with you honestly went through the roof. Her mountain biking went through the roof. I mean, everything. I throw stuff at her now. It's like, spoof, she catches. It was like, in the past, I would throw stuff on her. It would like hit her in the head. It would like hit off. I'm not kidding. It's like she has coordination now because of you, dude.
Hey, Kevin, my workout partner's in Hawaii for the next 2 weeks. I'm on my way to the gym right now.
That's Daniel.
Daniel's been training me. And he sends me workouts like every whenever I'm supposed to go to the gym. So I'm on my way there now, but man, I miss them. So, but this is a good time to like, you know, revisit some stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally. Well, anyway,
you can hook up later.
Yeah, all right.
I'm telling you, man, he changed you, you know?
Kevin really taught me neurological, just equilibrium or balance or synergy or something that I didn't have. And, you know, shame on my kids because I did everything right for them that my mom didn't do for me. And I get heck. It just, you know.
Yeah, it's never going to change.
Dads are heroes. Moms are like, you know.
Yeah, the moms are heroes later. Trust me. She'll get some.
See you, Marilyn.
Yeah, but no, I mean, when I tell you, I mean, you know, my wife, when she would mountain bike, she would stop and get off and, you know, pick her bike up and go over a root or a rock. You know, we were mountain biking just the other day, and I mean, massive rocky section, and, you know, just blowing through it. But her coordination, I'm telling you, it was from the training you did. I mean, we saw that difference. She said, you know, that helped her the most.
Well, you were saying earlier, what do you have differently that other trainers don't have? And that's one of the things I specialize in, is I want to make people better at the things they do outside the gym predominantly. And like I was saying earlier, when you're doing things standing up with 2 feet on the ground, and you're just doing a movement or whatever, that's easy. Anybody can do that. What happens when you lift 1 foot off the ground, you put your hands on the ground, you crawl out into a position, you do a push-up, and then you kick your leg under your body, lift your arm up, and spin around in a circle. You got to think about every single movement you're doing, including the hand walk downward. So these are the kind of movements that I incorporate into my six-pack challenge that I have been working on for years. And I finally feel I've cracked the code on how to build a super body. Because I want to make people better at what they do outside, just like Marilee is a perfect case in point. And she came to me a while ago, and she had tight hips, and she had a problem concentrating and all this stuff. And she was telling me she likes to bike, and I know how outdoorsy you guys are. So I took all that information, and then I built a program around that for her specifically. And I said to myself, you got to learn how to crawl. And when I first said that to her, she looked at me with out of the corner of her eye, like, what the heck are you talking about? And I got down the floor, and I described it to her. We took in pieces first. I showed her how to do an alternating arm and leg raise from a crawl position with your knees off the ground. And she's just like that. So you must learn how to crawl first before you do anything else. That's my thought. That's my way that I look at things. So when you crawl, you're doing a complex movement pattern, and you're also doing a crossbody pattern. So your opposite arm and leg is moving at the same time. So that's going to have way more feedback loop on the body than a linear pattern like a bicep curl, because it's really easy to do this. And you can watch YouTube videos all day long and learn how to do this, no problem. You can watch a crawl video, but you may not get it at first unless I'm standing right there talking to you about it. And when you learn how to crawl, that's just the basics, in my opinion. And then you start learning three-dimensional movements where you're spinning around in circles, and you got to memorize 2 and 3 movement patterns combined and the reps that you're doing. So your brain lights up like a Christmas tree when you do this. Then she said the word neurological, and I'm glad she did, because that's called a high neurological load. So that is the secret science to keeping your brain fresh and preventing Alzheimer's and all these other diseases that occur as people get older. Related, and I see my grandparents go through it, and I've seen it's a horrible thing. It's really sad to watch people in perfectly good physical health get dwindled down to a wheelchair and be very not even remember their names or the names of their kids, or like recognize no one because of brain problems. And I want to try to reverse that and change it and nip it in the bud right now before it gets any worse.
So what do these patterns look like? I mean, first of all, can they go to your website and see some of these movements? Can they see you doing them? Can they get the six-pack challenge there? Or do you need to stand up right now and actually show some of these movements? I want to give them something now that they can add in to what they're doing, you know, I mean, even in their home. I mean, these are movements. I've seen you do them. You know, these are things that they can do. How do they learn how to do it?
Okay, first of all, you can go to my website. It's called restoreyourfitness.com. And on there, you'll see a little triangle button on there. Just click on that triangle, and there's a trailer that I've made on there where I explain the workout a little bit more, and you'll see me doing some of the patterns on there. And I'm willing to do a little intro for y'all right now, if that's cool. I'll jump down the floor. Let me try to get some space here. It's an unprecedented first, I think, on Annual Cellular Healing TV, so bear with me. So I'm going to do an exercise called a rail breaker. This is one of my favorites. I'm going to add a push-up in. I'm going to do a single leg hand walk, rail breaker push-up. There's a lot of words. Just bear with me. So this is what I'm talking about. We're going to step back. I'm going to stand on 1 foot. Now I'm going to do a hand walk down like this. I'm going to kick my leg under my body. I'm going to kick all the way around. And now my other foot comes off the ground. I'm going to do a push-up. I'm going to kick it back under. Lift this foot back up. Walk all the way back up.
maintain my balance and switch sides. Come back down and switch sides. Keep this leg under. Keep this leg under. Push up. Take it back. Take it back. Walk back up. So there you go.
Wow.
Yeah, my heart rate just went through the roof.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that. It does. I mean, you're in shape, man. You're huffing, right? It's like, yeah. You know, and by the way, it may take you, you know, Kevin made it look easy, but it may take you several times to get it, but you'll get it. Don't say I can't do it. Believe me, if Marilyn could learn it, you can learn it. But I mean, your brain, it's like riding a bike. You're going, wait, what? Let me see that again. What?
Yes.
But that's the point. That's the whole point, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there was there's a lot of things going on right there. So you've got balance going on, you've got brain functioning going on, you've got a complex movement pattern, you're working your upper body, you're working your core, and you're improving your flexibility, all rolled into one, and that's only one exercise I did. I only did one rep to each side, and my heart rate's through the roof.
So is that part of your core, is that part of the ab, the six-pack challenge?
Yes. Yes, you will see stuff just like that in my six-pack challenge. That's one of the exercises.
Yeah, people just think of that as an ab, right? That doesn't look like a sit-up to me, you know?
Right. And that's another thing. Mm-hmm. Sit-ups and crunches are boring, and there's so many other ways to work the abs. It's not even funny. I see people on the crunch machine in the gym all the time, and it's like, ugh, it's dreadful. It's almost as bad as seeing someone doing American swings with kettlebells. So I just like – I try to push the edge and make things a lot more fun than normal and a lot more holistic than your average – crunch or sit up or plank hold. You're always moving around and you do so many other activities with your body that you really don't even focus on your abs until way after the workout's over. And then all of a sudden your stomach is solid as a rock in a couple weeks. And you're like, wow, that's actually working.
Yeah,
so all that whole thing, when you walk down with one leg in the air, your core is working right there, but you're also working your posterior chain too. You have to suspend your legs, your hamstrings and glutes work. Then you kick your leg under your body, you roll over, you're working your shoulders, you're improving your posture, you're improving your brain function. So that's one exercise right there, and I built the whole entire program around this premise. So in my program, I'm not trying to toot my own horn or use this as a cheap, sleazy plug, but I'm just being honest. I mean, I've seen it all come and go. I still see it to this day. This program and this one, 20-minute this and 10-minute that and Tabata drills and whatever, that's all fine and dandy. But what I've devised is a program that's going to improve your balance, your brain function, your lean muscle mass, your core strength, your posture, and it's also going to burn a ton of calories, all rolled into one and a nicely tightly wound package deal, and you can do it, as you can see, in 5 to 10 feet of space, mm-hmm. any locale across the world.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I mean, it's very popular. I mean, people, you know, think it's amazing. Well, Meredith, I've seen it in action. So, you know, you probably have questions that our viewers and listeners have questions about.
I know. Well, I want to try it too. I'm super motivated because just personally, I found some challenges with, you know, eating such a clean diet and taking a lot of supplements that I find it very easy to maintain a lean body mass without really exercising at all. I mean, I hate to say it, but to be honest, I'll go weeks not exercise at all and not feel like I look any different. Because I think part of it too is, you know, I get bored with exercise, and I love how well this ties into to diet variation. Your concept of, you know, varying our meals and our food and the timing to you know, to optimize our hormones. So I think the exercise variation piece of this just, you know, it complements it so well. Yeah. So with that being said, Kevin, what you with your diet, with the exercise variation, maybe some supplements you take, just to kind of give us an idea of what the implementation looks like in real life for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, usually I work out first thing in the morning, or the first chance I get to work out, I call it. Normally I'm able to get to the gym rather early, at between 5:30 and 6 a.m. But oftentimes I'll have a client at 6 a.m. or 5:30 or something, and then I'll have to wait. So it's either first thing in the morning or my first available chance to work out, because I just feel I get the most brain function spike from working out first thing in the morning. If I work out late in the afternoon, it's like, I kind of have to drag myself to work out. So I try to do it first thing, as close to first thing as possible. Empty stomach always, it's not even a question. Once in a while, I will do a greens powder or a pre-workout formula, because I get people give me you know, samples of things all the time. Because always companies, reps of companies are always trying to get me to promote their stuff and whatever. And it needs to get through the KRAIL seal of approval. And if it's got acetone potassium, red leg number 40, blue number 5, anything artificial in it, I see it in a nanosecond. And people come to me all the time, oh, this is clean, this is natural, try this out, blah, blah, blah. I just got to read the ingredient label. And if it has any of that stuff,
yeah, you're right.
The circular dispenser. So I do, sometimes I'll try those things just to try them, because I have a lot of clients who use pre-workout formulas and all these other things, and I try to stay current on what's going on out there just so I can give them a good, healthy option to use when they're looking for it. And that's really the only reason. I don't need pre-workout formulas, I'm glad to say. A lot of people ask me if I drink coffee because they're like, man, you have more energy than like people put together. And I'm like, it's just, I'm high on life and I'm passionate, and that's all there is to it. If I don't have caffeine or coffee, I don't drink it. Again, I'm not against it. I don't throw anyone under the bus. I don't judge people. If you want to drink coffee, that's great. It's the second biggest commodity in the world next to oil, and I'm cool with that. But usually it's empty stomach, water, workout, train people, come home, write some articles, work on my site, go back to the gym, train more people, and then it's off to the races, and then repeat. As far as my diet is concerned, I try to eat, like I was saying, as high octane fuel as I can. I try to get as many alkaline foods in my diet as possible. And I try to keep things as clean as I can. And then every now and then I'll do a longer fast. Usually, my fast is usually 12 to 16 hours. Sometimes I'll do longer ones, 24, 48, and so on. I don't have a lot of body fat, so I have to be careful about doing really long fasts often. So those kind of, I just schedule them in here and there. And I also use a good quality protein powder as well. So that's pretty much it, supplement-wise.
Mm-hmm. So you don't do any other supplements other than a protein powder?
Not really. I do creatine I'll use as well. Plain creatine, which comes from a good source that I know of. Because my workouts are usually an hour and a half and they're pretty high intensity, so it's really good for my recoveries. So I'll use protein powder, creatine, and every now and then a greens formula, or like I said, sometimes a pre-workout formula. And that's pretty much it. But I don't do like B6 in the morning, multivitamin here, liquid vitamin there, on and on the list goes. Mm-hmm. And it's another reason why I don't do that is another reason why I don't drink coffee. It's because I know so many people who survive on coffee, and that's how they survive. And to me, it's kind of a crutch. And I'm like, if I'm out camping or something or in the woods, or if I'm out traveling somewhere and I don't have access to coffee in the morning, I want to be able to function. I don't want to be like, oh, I need coffee. What am I going to do? And some people are like, oh, don't even talk to me. I don't have my coffee yet. And I'm like, seriously? The life. Sleep better. Drink, you know, get more alkaline and drink more water and drink some kombucha during the day. You don't have to worry about bloody coffee every single minute of every hour. So these people that have to have coffee first thing in the morning to survive, I don't want to be one of those people. I don't want to be a statistic. And I don't feel it's – I don't like the aftertaste of it and what I feel it does to your teeth as well. I don't want to walk around with a toothbrush all day long, brushing my teeth after drinking coffee in between. So those are some of my deals right there.
Yeah. Well, listen, no doubt. I mean, people should get the six-pack challenge, because it's more than just the six-pack, trust me. You know, that's just a way to get people's attention. You know, really, it is. So much of it is about the brain. I mean, you can see just by that. So like you said, Meredith, you know, we don't have to work out to, you know, stay as lean as we are, right? It's like, but working out for me means a heck of a lot more than staying lean. I stay just as lean, you know, whether I work out or not. But it's this, man. It's that there's so many more benefits to working out. It's absolutely remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of people only scratch the surface when they're talking about exercise and workouts, fitness professionals like, oh, get in shape in 20 days and do this workout and burn this many calories and everything. But they don't really get the big picture. There's not a lot of people I know of that talk about the mental aspects, the real deep mental aspects of fitness, like the complex movement pattern. Some people are like, oh, you get endorphin release, it's great. Well, that's only part of it. It's like what we just talked about. It's like that. It's like you come into a new trigger and you turn this switch on that you didn't even really know you had. And just doing something like I did right there for seconds, even, it's that fast. You do one complex movement pattern for 2 minutes in the middle of the afternoon from your desk cubicle, and your brain is going to be refreshed like that faster than a cup of coffee will give it to you. And it's going to be a clean, natural brain freshening that you're getting. So it's a whole different ballgame.
Well, yeah, that's what I wanted to share with the viewers, man, is I just watch you do it. I'm like, you got to bring my people that challenge in those movements, man. Go ahead, Meredith. You were going to say something.
Yeah. I'm just curious too, for those of us who just kind of want to try some of these, you know, complex movements on our own, how do you incorporate rest days? Like, how often are you suggesting to do these movements?
Well, as far as my program is concerned, I recommend you do that. Basically, it works is you get a workout sent to you through email, and then you follow along with my videos on there. And you do that 3 days a week on alternating days. And the reason I built it that way is because, again, I've done the research. And I find that it takes the first workout someone does usually when I do this class live in person, they're kind of figuring it all out and they're kind of clueless. The second workout they do, they're starting to get it. And it's, oh yeah, I remember this. But then by the third workout, they finally have it down. And then as soon as I get it down, I change the questions again and I send them a new workout the next week. So you get a new workout sent to you every single week that's going to be unique. And as the weeks go on, the intensity level goes like this. So they get harder each week, which is a lot of fun as well. And it usually takes you three workouts just to figure it out and get into the pocket. And on the three other alternating days, I suggest you do a minimum of 30 minutes of cardio. And it can be as small as brisk walking, or it can be high intensity Tabata drills. It can be whatever you want it to be. And it can be longer than 30 minutes, but it has to be a minimum of 30. So that's the method. And then on a Sunday, the last, well, that's have to be Sunday, but your seventh day, which is you coin as your off day, I suggest that you do a minimum of 30 minutes of activity with some friends and family members, because I'm big into unity. And that's another thing I talk about in the motivation factor we mentioned earlier, is how exercise brings people together, and it helps reduce crime, and it helps it helps improve test scores with kids in school, and it does all these magical, wonderful things for the brain, and it also helps with your personal life as well. So I say on your off day, do something with some friends. Go to a park, play frisbee, play volleyball, go bowling. Do something active, even if it's fishing. It's still active in Mother Nature. You're surrounded with ecotherapy. That's part of the solution. We already know the problems are the crime and the obesity and like corruption and government is crooked and all these other things. We know it's out there. But I try to shift all my focus on the positive. How can I contribute to make things better? And I want people to come together and love each other and hug each other and be with each other. And it just helps in so many ways. And it's overlooked. I think exercise is like it's the panacea. And it can be used as that ingredient to get everyone together and you know, stop the feuding and stop the fighting and the bickering and the irrelevant childish gibberish that goes on around us all the time that I see every single day. And that's movement, how we can do it.
Yeah. Movement's missing, and so is that. Well, listen, Kevin, not everyone can hire you as their coach, but they can all go get the six-pack challenge, and then you'll be their coach, right? You're sending them these workouts, man. You know, totally. So do it. It's all the rage here. You know, it's like, and the fact is, you know, you can do it right in your own home, man. That's what's so cool. So, you know, get it, go to his site, remind him how to get it again on your website, Kevin.
It's restoreyourfitness.com, and it's called My Six Pack Challenge. And I'm easy to find. I'm on social media, Kevin Rail, just look for me. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff.
Yep. No, absolutely get it. And he doesn't, you know, he can be your coach too, man. It's like I said, it's all the rage here. Do it, man. It will absolutely change not just your physique, obviously not just your abs. More importantly, it's going to change your nervous system, man. And that's where people need the greatest change, no doubt about it. Kevin, thanks for coming on, man. You know, and I wanted you to deliver that, and you did. So appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Doc. Appreciate it. Meredith, absolutely. Thank you, too.
Yes, thank you so much, Dr. Pompa and Kevin. Amazing message and amazing information. I'm really excited to try your workouts myself. So everybody go to restoreyourfitness.com, check out Kevin's program. And thanks again, Kevin, for sharing your wisdom.
Welcome. Absolutely. Have a great day, everyone.
Talk to you, man. Bye.
Take care, everybody. Bye.